17. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 16:23-24. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits.
Morning, Jacob's Well. A little bit of an echo there. My name is Jalen. I love being here. I love preaching the Word of God, and I'm happy to be with you once again. We are still in our series in Proverbs, The Way of Wisdom, and I cannot wait to see what the Lord has for us this morning. Before we dive in, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much just for the gift of your Word. God, we cannot just say enough how much we need you. God, we need your wisdom to survive and navigate this broken world. We need your wisdom. So, Lord, my prayer this morning is that you teach us, that you shape us, you mold us, you convict us, you inspire us, God, to become more like you and to walk in your ways, oh God. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The way of wisdom. Pastor Scott has given us a beautiful definition of wisdom. The art of living well. The art of living well. I love that. And I think it's important to say and to continue to say, as Pastor Scott has reminded us over and over again, wisdom is not simply practical advice, right? Wisdom is relational. To embrace wisdom is to embrace being in relationship with God, right? Scott has already outlined for us that Proverbs is about a father speaking to a son, a parent speaking to a child. Wisdom is us sitting quite literally on the lap of our father, receiving his words, receiving his counsel, receiving his wisdom. And today, we're going to talk about words, right? Of all the things that Proverbs talks about, other than wisdom itself, the second most prominent theme in Proverbs is speech, words. What Proverbs wants to communicate to you and I is that the way we speak can make or break your life. It's that deep. The way we speak, the words we say, can make or break your very life. How we speak, the way we speak, the tone in which we speak is utterly important. And our first verse that Sister Melissa read for us, Proverbs 12:18-19, 18 says this. It says that there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Words are so powerful that they can pierce like a sword, right? And words are, when a word goes out into the atmosphere, there are no take-backsies. Can't take it back, right? And I love this comparison here, right? It's like words, imagine if you stab someone in the stomach, right? You take the sword out, you're like, okay, the sword's out, we're good. Thank God, right? And the person's like, yeah, but see, what's crazy is that I'm still bleeding. I'm still wounded. And honestly, I could use some help, right? That's the power of words. Words have the power to wound. They leave wounds. And this verse 18, this first verse is a reminder that when we speak rashly, when we speak without thinking, when we speak just out of emotions like anger, frustration, fear, and sadness, rarely does it ever yield good results. Words require our minds. When we speak, we must engage our minds. This verse reminded me of my sweet mother. Growing up, on the first day of school, literally every single year, all the way maybe until I was a junior, Lord have mercy, my mom on the first day of school, rather than coming through the pickup line, she would park her car, walk into the school, and ask my teacher, how did he do today? And the teacher would be like, oh, you know, Jalen was a respectful young man. He was quiet. He was very attentive in class. And my mom would say every year, you know, I'm going to just put you on notice. My son loves to talk. And see, what my son is doing, he's warming up. And what he's going to do by week 3 or 4, once he figures out what he can get away with, once he figure out what friends he has in a particular class, he's going to be your most talkative student. And I just want to let you know, you have full permission by me to do whatever you got to do. And what was interesting, because I was thinking about this week, is that my mom, every single day, when she dropped me off at school, she'd say, love you, son, and remember, think before you speak. And it was interesting to me because as I was thinking about this, my mother never took the approach to say, Jalen, stop talking so much. Because she realized that telling my son not to talk is like telling water not to be wet. It's impossible. You can't do it. So rather than trying to change who he is, I want my son to consider his words rather than just blabbing all the time, right? Now, sad to report, every progress report, every report card pickup, the report would be the same. Good student, but he talks so much. And you know what used to make me mad? You know, I'm a pretty funny guy. I used to make my teachers laugh. And that was never a part of the report card pickup thing. You know what I'm saying? I would be like I talked a lot, but I also made you laugh. And they would be like, he brings a fun energy, but it was like, but. I'm like, y'all some haters, man, whatever. My mother wanted me to consider time and place, right? The classroom is not the lunchroom, right? At lunch, you can do whatever you gotta do, but in class, I don't want you just to not talk for the sake of talking. I want you to respect your teachers. I want you to consider your classmates, because when you talk, you distract them, which can make them miss important things that they need to learn so that they can know it for the test or whatever they need to do. So the goal of this advice that I'm giving you, son, I want you to be the best version of yourself, right? Not trying to change you, but I want you to be the best version of yourself, which is not just considering you and your needs, but also considering others, right? God in our lives, like my sweet mother, every single day, is reminding us, daughter, son, think before you speak, right? And this is so practical that it applies to everyday situations in our relationships, right? When we speak too rashly, right, we're more likely to make our significant other upset. When we speak so rashly, we're more likely to get in a little bit more trouble with our parents. Tony Evans has this thing, he's a pastor out of Dallas, Texas, where he says that our emotions don't have intellect, which means, right, that our emotions are reactive. They're raw things. And having an emotion is not a sin. Having an emotion is not wrong, but what we must understand, like this verse is trying to tell us, that we have to guide our emotions with thoughts with wisdom, with sound thinking, so that the output of our emotions can be very, very sound, very poised, very thoughtful, and not unthoughtful. Because remember, our words has consequences. Our words can leave wounds. It keeps going in verse 19 where it says, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. I sounded so southern right there. Lord have mercy. A lying tongue. I can't say it. How do you say it? Lying? Lying? I can't say it. Lying. I can't say it. But a lying tongue endures forever. My God, today. You know, this is very, very important. God wants us to truly understand here that a lie is but for a moment. The benefits of a lie are extraordinarily fleeting, right? It'll get you off the hook for a little while, right? But the consequences of those lies last a lot longer than that momentary benefit that you got from it. And see, here's what's important to know about a lie. Lying distorts our reality. What do you mean? Let's go back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, right? What did the devil say to Eve over and over again? What lies did he tell her, right? Are you sure that God said? He planted doubt, right? God says, if you touch that tree, if you eat from that tree, you will surely die. The devil said, you ain't gonna die. You will not surely die if you eat that tree. Matter of fact, God don't want you to be like him, right? So the lies that the devil was telling Adam and Eve in those moments was literally creating an alternate reality that God had already carved out for them. It distorted their reality. I'm about to come for you now. Get ready. Teenagers, y'all didn't say nothing with Scott Ash out of shout out, so I'm just gonna come for you now, for real now. The biggest lie you can tell yourself, teenagers, kids, is that your parents are trying to ruin your life. That's the biggest lie you can tell yourself. And see, when you tell yourself that lie, right, what happens is it breeds disobedience, right? Now I'm gonna go behind their back, disobey their rules. Why? Because they're trying to ruin my life. They don't understand me. They don't know what's best for me, right? And I want you to think about what that means. What you're saying is, my parents are doing, they're literally strategically doing everything within their power to ruin my life. Do you know how diabolical that is? That's diabolical, right? And what you truly do know, right, is that your parents love you immeasurably. Now, do they make mistakes? Of course they do. They're human beings, right? But when you tell yourself that lie, they don't want what's best for me. They don't want to understand me. That breeds disobedience. That distorts the actual reality, which is what? My parents do love me. And watch this. Since my parents love me, maybe I should try my best to understand their rules, understand the boundaries they set in place, because they truly do want what's best for me. You see that wisdom? Right? And see, now you're living in reality. And see, when you're living in reality, that now breeds healthy conversations. Right? We're going to talk about it in a minute, how to have healthier conversations. All right, kids, I'm done with y'all. Come here, married folks. Here's a lie. If I lie to my spouse, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to avoid an argument. It's going to lead to peace. And shoot, I ain't got the energy to argue right now. So therefore, I'm just going to lie. I'm going to avoid conflict. Here it is. I'm just going to keep the peace. Ooh, y'all quiet this morning. right? But see, the avoidance of conflict does not lead to peace or harmony. It leads to a shallow coexistence and unresolved resentment, right? When we choose to lie to our spouse, it does incredibly more harm than good. Because what it does is, one, it destroys our credibility with our spouse, number one. And number two, it does not allow for us to enter into right relationship with one another before our God. Because see, rather than lie, God says, what if I give you a proper framework of how to enter into a conversation with your spouse, and you go into it with a biblical mindset, you go into it prayerfully, and now you're going to use love, grace, and mercy to help you navigate a conversation. Now, will this be sort of a quick fix? Absolutely not. But are you setting the standard of navigating difficult and hard conversations in a healthy way that will lead to peace? Yes, you are, right? And that's what the truth will give you. The truth restores and gives credibility, right? When I tell you the truth, in love, in grace, in humility, that makes our relationship grow in a healthy and godly way. Do not believe the lies the enemy wants you to believe. The enemy wants to do everything in his power to wreak havoc and wreak chaos. In all of our relationships with parents, friends, and spouses, lying always gives us this distorted view of reality. And God is like, don't fall for it. Don't believe it. Do the work. Because if you do the work, it will yield holy and righteous results. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. I want to move now to chapter 16, verses 23 through 24. Don't worry, y'all. I'm almost finished. We are almost to the finish line. This is very important. 16, 23 through 24. It says, the heart of the wise makes their speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to come for y'all one more time. Because I know how we can get as human beings. Now don't take this scripture as saying, God's going to give me the words to say that's going to make everybody do what I want them to do. That ain't it, fam. It says it adds persuasiveness to their lips. It did not say that wisdom will always persuade people with your lips, right? It adds persuasiveness, but it doesn't make it so where everything you say will always persuade people with your lips. That's a very important distinction. Let's get back to the nitty-gritty now. The heart of the wise makes their speech judicious. Here it is. Building and sustaining a relationship with God is the breeding ground for developing a healthy tongue, right? Building and sustaining a healthy relationship with God is the breeding ground for developing a healthy tongue, right? A bitter heart leads to bitter words. An angry heart leads to angry words. A frustrated heart leads to frustrated words, right? Where your heart is, your words will come, well, your words will sort of pour out. So if my relationship with God is in good standing, that will automatically influence the words that I speak, right? And this is very, very important. Because if you find yourself thinking about saying very unwise words, if you find yourself wanting to speak rashly, now, and you might say, Jalen, how do I know if my words are that bad? First of all, come on, fam. Let's start there. But I'll give you a little criteria. I give you a little criteria, right? This is where I love the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience. I don't know them all by heart, but yeah, you get the. I probably could say them if you say I'll give you $10 or something, but I don't know. I'm just kidding. If you give me like 5 minutes to think about it, I probably could really do it. Fruit of the Spirit, though, right? So I love the fruit of the Spirit because it's like, if my words align with these characteristics, right? If they exude these behavioral traits, then I'm on the right path, right? Are my words patient? Are they loving? Are they kind? Do they exude a long suffering, right? Like, are my words aligning with these biblical values? Are my words bearing fruit? Are they bearing fruit? Right? So this is what it means to think before you speak, right? And see, when you're in right relationship with God, you will, your words will more naturally bear fruit, right? This is why it says the heart of the wise makes their speech judicious. If your heart is right with God, your words will be right with people. If your heart is right with God, your words will be right with people, right? And I do love this. It says that when your heart is right with God, it adds persuasiveness to your speech, right? It's like God will give you such an alternate framework of thinking that he will allow your words to sound good to folk, even when it don't make that much sense to them. It's like, you know what? I want to disagree with you, but man, you made that sound good. You made it sound good. And see, here's the thing, right? They might not be persuaded at first by your words, but as my grandmother liked to say, you gave them something to think about. They're thinking about them words you said because it convicted them. It inspired them. It made them grapple with a deeper truth. And God is like, now that I've used you to say persuasive words, let me work on them now. I'll take it from here. Let God do the work. You can't do it. We can't do it, right? And the thing about this too, right? And this, and I want the teenagers to hear me real well. Don't go home telling your parents, you know, Jalen said that if I start quoting the Bible to you, you'll agree with me more. That ain't what I said. This is what I am saying, though. If you are right with God, when you approach your parents about something you want to do, when you approach your parents about a plan of action that you want to partake, God will give you the wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and words to speak that will make it more persuasive to your parents. And now you and your parents can be in so much healthier dialogue, where it's not, you're trying to ruin my life. No, I'm not. And it goes, oh, here we go. No, now we're in healthy dialogue, right? Now God can use both parties. Same thing with spouses, man. Lord Jesus, have mercy, God. God is like, before you go off on that sorry joker, I know you think he's sorry. I know you think she dramatic. But before you go off, stop, Think. Align your behavior, align your habits, align your words with the fruit of the Spirit. Let your words bear fruit. Before you ghost your friend that's getting on your nerves, before you go off on your friend, right? Bear fruit. What did Jesus say? You will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And I think, too, one of my favorite Beatitudes, the hardest one, but my favorite one is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I love this. Because what Jesus set the standard for is, anytime you go into a situation, the first priority should be make peace. Not cheap peace, right? Cheap peace is like, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to go along to get along. I'm going to wing it. That ain't peace. That's fake. But I want God in the end to be glorified. I think it goes back to, you know that you're trying to make peace when you're bearing good fruit, right? I'm not just communicating to just get my point across. I'm not communicating just to get this off my chest so that I can feel better. That's selfish, right? But I'm communicating to bear fruit and in the end to make peace. And here's the real good news, right? Because even if our efforts don't bring complete peace to the situation, there's only so much that we can control. But what God says is, even if the situation, by your efforts to make peace, does not end in peace, guess what? You will have internal peace, because that is what I promised you. You will have peace in the end as well. Because I promise you a peace that surpasses all understanding. So your efforts to make peace will never fall void, right? And let's go to verse 24. We're almost out of here. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. You know, I forgot to say this in the last one. Words can also be medicinal, right? Words can heal. And this is great. Because sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we say things that we don't mean. And see, even though there are no take-backsies, there is such a thing as humility, apologizing, humbling ourselves to the point where we say, I am sorry, and truly outline and specifically say what we're sorry about, right? Words can heal. Words of affirmation also can heal, right? Where so much harm has been done in your life, where folks have said so many things about you, God can put people in your life to affirm you. Affirm your gifts, affirm your humanity, affirm that you are somebody in Christ. The gift of affirmation, that's healing, right? And I love how 24 just paints the picture. Words are like a honeycomb. Honey is sweet, and it's also a remedy, right? When you drink some honey, it has healing remnants in it as well. And it's sweet to the soul and health to the body. So our words can bring healing. Our words can truly bring life. And that's something to also consider. Last one and we out of here. This is Proverbs 18, verse 21. This is a powerful one right here, boy. The Word of God says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. When I read this week,
I was like, this is a lot, God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. But then he was like, think about it though. For real. Let's just go with war. Wars are started with words. Right? When you get into an argument with your spouse, what's something you always gonna say? Remember when you said? Remember when you did? You're like, dang, you remember I said that? That's crazy. Right? Words can cause truly physical death. Words can cause psychological strife. Words, death, and life are in the power of the way we speak, right? And what God is saying to us in many ways is, since words have this much power, one, I want you to understand the gravity of it, right? Not to shame you, but it's like my sweet mom, right? I'm trying to get you to be the best version of yourself, right? And the best version of yourself is a self that is considering your words and that is trying to bear fruit with your words. That's your best self, right? Your best self is the self that is pursuing holiness and not just pursuing wanting to be right all the time, wanting to win an argument all the time. Holiness is the pursuit. Peace is the pursuit, right? That's what we're after. And God is saying, when you don't pursue holiness and you don't pursue peace, your words will be stabbing people like a sword and it will leave wounds if you're not careful. If you're not careful, right? And this second part, and those who love it will eat its fruits. I love this, right? God is saying, in many ways, to love wisdom is to love wise and fruitful speech, right? I want you to love the sweetness of words, right? I want you to love when I convict you to stop talking. Fall in love with that, man. When I tell you to shut up, be quiet. I want you to love that. Because, see, when you fall in love with that, you're like, oh, boy, let me take a step back so that my words can bear fruit. Right? I want you to fall in love with words to the point to where you are so attentive to my voice. Son, chill out. Daughter, don't go there. Stop. Think. This will bring life to your marriage. It brings life to your friendships. It brings life to your relationship with your parents. It brings life to every single relationship in your life. When you stop and consider your words and make sure that they're bearing fruit, which requires us, I learned this lesson. It took me my whole life to learn this lesson. You can't always talk, Jalen. Dang. Think before you speak. Think before you speak. Don't speak rashly. Speak thoughtfully. And again, the ultimate goal is what? Making peace. Right? Because, see, sometimes when we argue in our marriages, we forget. At the end of this argument, we're going to still be married. It's like you live here. You ain't going nowhere, right? So obviously, the goal is for this argument to end. Like we can't live our lives this way, right? And see, that's why I gotta go into this with the mindset of peace, real peace, making peace. And don't elbow your husband, you listening? Don't elbow your wife, you listening in? Both of y'all, come to it. I gotta make peace. Don't elbow your mama. Mama, you listening? Don't elbow your son or daughter. You listening? Both of y'all, Making peace is the goal. That has to be the goal. And the only way we get there, according to Proverbs, we have to be thoughtful with our words. We got to be thoughtful with our words. Okay. Last thing I'll say is this, and we're wrapping up. When we think about wisdom, as Scott has been telling us, right, it really resonates with me that because we live in a sinful world, we often can fall for lady folly, right? And I feel like God be telling us every single day, she ain't the one, bro. She ain't the one. She ain't the one. Lady wisdom, that's the one, right? And so often, like the scripture said, lady folly would convince us that the momentary ecstasy of a lie is worth it. But God be like, it ain't worth it, fam. It is not worth it. And we come to this table every week to admit to ourselves that we are sinners in deep need of salvation, and truly in deep need of salvation from ourselves and salvation from the world. Salvation from constantly falling for the lie that Lady Folly tells us. We need salvation. And we come to this table with an open admission, Lord, I need you. I can't do it without you. I just can't do it. So we come to this table to remember the glorious sacrifice that our Savior did for us. As the band comes back up, we remember that Jesus died on that cross so that we can overcome the evil of words, so that we could break through the evil of words and bear fruit with our words. He gives us that power. And we come to remember the sacrifice, the death on the cross, and his marvelous resurrection, giving us power to overcome this world and to overcome the evil and the piercing and the pierceness of words. So we come now. There's a gluten-free option in the middle of the table here. And we come down these two aisles. Let's come down.